ever put this way, and I really liked it. So I'm going to share that with you. She was talking about going through trials. And so she was talking, we've all heard the analogy of, you know, having mountains and valleys. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop, sometimes we're in the valley. And she said, you know, we all want to be on the mountaintop. She said, because we stand up there, and there we are at that highest point, and we look all around, and it's beautiful, and it's great to be on the mountaintop. She said, but, you know, sometimes it's a little scary because there's nowhere to go from there but down. She said, but, you know, we don't want to think about being in the valley. She said, but I want you to think about the valley. The valley is where the river flows. It's where the growth is. That's where all the greenery is. That's where the growth happens, is in the valley. And she talked about how if we don't have trials and we don't have pain in our lives, we don't grow. Those are the things that force us to grow and to change. And so just think about that the next time you're walking through that valley. That's where the growth happens. That's where the river flows the strongest, is in the valley.
White as snow. this opportunity to be in your house, to praise your name in freedom. Lord, we lift up our praise and thanksgiving to you, and we pray that it pleases your heart. I pray for Jamie as he comes, and I pray that you would speak through him and give us exactly what you'd have us to hear today, and that our hearts would be soft and receptive, and that we would do your will as we hear it, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Excuse me. Y'all didn't know this was up here, did you? In the interest of full disclosure, I got 2 shots yesterday and a steroid on top of my normal medicine. And so last night I was staring at the ceiling. The last time I saw the clock was 3:30. And then we had to get up, you know, and get here this morning. So if I say anything that seems out of the way, that's probably why. I got a cough drop in, and I'm going to be drinking the whole time so that y'all can actually hear what I'm saying. Is that all right? Is that all right?
Yes.
You didn't have a choice. All right. But you thought you did. See how I did that? That was good. No, if y'all will, turn in your Bible to Isaiah 39. Of course, it'll be up here on the screen. We'll give you a little background on the story we're about to look into real quick. We're looking at King Hezekiah. And what you probably know about King Hezekiah is that he was a very good king. He was known as one of the better kings. And God sent the prophet to tell him, hey, dude, you're going to die. And he said, well, I'm not ready yet, Lord. Give me a little bit more time. And God says, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. And so where we pick up this story is what Hezekiah is going to do with those 15 extra years that he got. So Hezekiah, very good guy. Very good king, tore down the high places, did all kinds of stuff for God. And now we're going to pick up the story in Isaiah chapter 39. We're going to start in verses 1 through 2. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, y'all say that 3 times fast, sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah since he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them his treasure house, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, all his armory, and everything that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his palace and in all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. So let's stop there for a minute and look at how this story starts. First of all, y'all know who Merodach-Baladan is, right? Like, not even the seminary people? Really? Okay, well, moving on from that. He was the king of Babylon, and Babylon was a part of the Assyrian Empire. And he didn't want to be a part of the Assyrian Empire. And so 2 different times he tried to put together a rebellion to take over the Assyrian king so that he could be the king over the whole empire. Okay? So when he comes to Hezekiah, I told y'all the medicine. When he comes to Hezekiah, and he brings him gifts and a letter. Y'all, he's not coming to say, I'm so glad you got better. He's coming to say, hey, dude, would you mind helping me in this rebellion that I'm about to have? And Hezekiah shows the people that come everything. Everything in the storehouse, all the food, the armies, the weapons, the gold, the silver, all of it. What's Hezekiah saying? Yeah, look at what we got, buddy. Bet you wish you had all this. Because he's wanting them to help him fight, right? So he's saying, yeah, we got all this. Sure, we can help you fight. Y'all remember what the first sin was, like ever? Come on, y'all. Hey. Pride. Yeah, I think I gave y'all the answer. Yeah, I gave y'all the answer. Pride was the first sin, right? Adam and Eve, and then the serpent comes and he says, hey, if y'all eat this, you'll be like God. The sin wasn't eating the apple. The sin was wanting to be like God. It's called pride. Okay? What about Cain and Abel? Why'd Cain kill Abel? Pride. Like, you're going to notice a repetition here. You could probably just say pride to any question I have for the next few minutes, and that's probably going to be the answer. Okay, why do you not answer my question when I ask? Pride, because you don't want to be wrong. Okay, I set you up for that one. Oh, I set you up for that one. Yeah, so is pride a problem? Anybody? Nobody has a couple of y'all? All right, well, let's go ahead and pray now that God doesn't strike us all down. Anybody have a problem with pride? Come on, y'all. Thank you. Let's be honest. Look, I promise you, if you were to think about every sin you've ever committed, you could probably take that sin back to one thing. Pride. Why do you lie? Pride. Because you don't want to be wrong. Or you don't want to look stupid, whatever the case may be. Why do you cheat? Pride. You don't want to have bad grades. You don't want to have a bad business, right? The book's got to look good. So we cheat. Why do we steal? Pride, because I want what they got. You see, you can go on and on and on, and pride is a big problem. And because of pride, here's what happens in verse 5. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. The time will certainly come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your descendants who come from you will be taken away. They will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Now let's stop there. Don't read any further if you're looking in your Bible. Don't read any further. You're still cheating. Stop. I'm looking at you. I can see you. Stop reading. I'm trying not to look at you so you won't know I'm talking to you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, look. Did y'all hear what Isaiah just said to Hezekiah? Did y'all hear what he told him? Did y'all read it? If you didn't hear it, did you read it? Oh, my goodness. I was making sure this thing was on. Are y'all out there? Hello? 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 Are you sure? I don't think you do. How are you answering my questions? You can't hear me. All right, y'all wake up. Everybody clap one time. One time. Thank you. My goodness, I expect it from the junior high kids, but good grief. Come on, man. Okay, so Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, and he basically says this: because of your pride, everything that you showed them is going to be gone. It's going to be taken to their land. You're not going to have anything left. And then he says, and by the way, some of your family members, your sons, your grandsons, they're going to be eunuchs in the palaces in Babylon. Y'all know what a eunuch is, right? Do I need to get into that? It's where they take your manhood away. And you got to take care of the dudes, ladies. There's a reason for that. I don't think we really need to go there into it. You understand? Right? So what he tells him is that your sons are going to be humiliated. There's not going to be an heir to the throne. They're going to be eunuchs. They're not going to have any manhood. There can't be an heir to the throne because of your pride. Now, here you go. If I was to ask y'all that question, if I was to come and tell y'all that, hey, look, everything you own is going to be taken away, okay? And your kids are going to be eunuchs in somebody else's house. What's your answer? I heard I'll kill you, I'll shoot you. We are in church. Y'all are being honest, though, that's right. Come on, what would you say? No way. Are y'all sure this thing's on? I'm finna put it in front of the speaker and see. Y'all know what it'll do then, right? Y'all wake up. So some of y'all are cool with it? Y'all be, that was the best answer I've gotten so far. Maybe I need to ask bad questions. Look at verse 8, because here's what Hezekiah said. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. For he thought, there will be peace and security during my lifetime." Did y'all hear his answer? The word of the Lord that you've spoken is good. What part of that was good? What part of all your stuff being taken away and you being your kids being a eunuch in somebody else's house is good? And then it says this little phrase that I love. It says, "For he thought." Y'all know when your kids come up to you and they said, "Hey, I was thinking about something." What's your answer? No. What do y'all say?
No.
No. And then when they tell you, you say, "Well, that's what you get for thinking." Right? Somebody should have shared that with Hezekiah, because his answer at least it's not going to happen to me. Did y'all see that? It was still up there. Wait for it. Here we go. At least there will be peace and security in my lifetime. I ain't worried about it. I don't care. And what we learn later on in Jeremiah is that this captivity is going to be for 70 years. 70 years is considered a generation. So a whole generation of people are going to be held captive by another country, by another empire, because of the pride, not just of King Hezekiah, but because of the whole nation. But we're focusing on King Hezekiah. And y'all, his answer, oh well, not my problem. So what happens when we let pride blind us? What does it lead to? I gave y'all the answer already. There we go. Captivity. So I know some of y'all have been looking, wondering why I was wearing the chains. I figure you put it together now, right? So our pride leads to captivity and bondage. And we get wrapped up in all these chains, just like Hezekiah's kids are going to and Hezekiah did. You see, Hezekiah was so wrapped up in his own pride, he didn't care what was going to happen to his own kids. And y'all, one by one, those chains started adding to him. And they got a little heavier and a little heavier and a little heavier. And I wonder if any of us are the same way. You know, it starts off small. We have, you know, a little pride issue. So we start cooking the books a little bit at work. And then it gets a little worse and a little worse and a little worse. And all of a sudden, you're in so far over your head, you wouldn't know the truth if it slapped you in the face. And we can keep going with different examples. I wonder if some of you were in a bad relationship, a horrible relationship, and the person, they just did you wrong and they abused you, maybe verbally, maybe physically abused you. And those chains just started adding one after the other, after the other, after the other, and they got heavier and heavier, even to the point, y'all, that you don't even realize they're there anymore. You get so used to them being there, that extra baggage, that you don't even think about it anymore. And your answer becomes, oh, well, at least it's not going to happen to me. But y'all ready for this? Every decision that you make on a daily basis affects your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. Every decision you make affects them all the way down the line. Because y'all watch this. If I choose, and we'll just pick an easy one, if I choose to be an alcoholic, what do you think the chances are of my children being alcoholics? It's going to go way up. Because, y'all, what we have to realize is that when we get bound down in chains and we don't realize it, we take a little piece of this chain and we give it to our kids. We take a little piece off and we give it to them. And then we take another piece off and we give it to them. And by the time they're 10 years old, they're bound up by chains and it's our fault. We did it to them. We put the chains on them. Jeremiah chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 3. Y'all, the scripture is very important. It says, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you time and time again, but you have not obeyed. Did you hear what he just said? For 23 years, I've been trying to tell you what God's saying. But you won't listen. And you're just steadily getting more bound up and more bound up. It says the Lord sent all his servants, the prophets, to you time and time again, but you have not obeyed or even paid attention. He announced, turn each of you from your evil way of life and from your evil deeds. Live in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors long ago and forever. Don't follow other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger by the work of your hands. Then I will do you no harm. But you would not obey me. This is the Lord's declaration, in order that you might provoke me to anger by the work of your hands and bring disaster on yourselves. Did God just put him in captivity? Or did he give him a shot? It's not rhetorical. Thank you. He gave him a shot. That's all I heard. So let's try it again. Did God just put him in captivity?
No.
Or did he give him a shot?
Yes.
Holy moly. Thank y'all. For 23 years, it says in a different version, it says that every single day for 23 years, he sent the prophets out to tell the people to turn back to me. Turn back to me. Turn back to me for 23 years. And they never would. Y'all, that's how comfortable we grow in these chains. Why do we grow so comfortable in the chains? Y'all know the answer. Pride. Because we like them. We like them. We enjoy the chains. Because each chain link represents something else that we struggle with. And if we didn't enjoy it, it wouldn't be there, would it? If Hezekiah was really worried about his kids, wouldn't he have prayed and asked God to deliver him from this issue so that wouldn't happen to his kids? But he didn't do that. He said, oh, well, who cares? And y'all, this is what happens when we let pride get in our way. We become captive. Just nonchalant, whatever, who cares? It's all right. Whatever happens is going to happen. And then one day down the road, we realize, what did we get ourselves into? What in the world is going on? I need help, Lord. Can you help me? And the cool thing about God, you can be turning back to Isaiah 40. The really cool thing about God is that he's awesome, and we are so not. Isn't that cool? Like, he's awesome, and we ain't even close. And the reason that's great is because he offers all that to us. So we're going to take this a little piece at a time. It's a lot of scripture. I'm going to read it as fast as I can without coughing and choking on you. We're going to start in verse 4. It says, every valley will be lifted up and every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth and the rough places a plain. The glory of the Lord will appear and all humanity together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out. Another said, what should I cry out? All humanity is grass, and all its goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Indeed, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. Zion, herald of good news, go up on a high mountain. Jerusalem, herald of good news, raise your voice loudly. Raise it, don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord your God comes with strength, and his power establishes his rule. His reward is with him, and his gifts accompany him. So, y'all, the first thing that we notice here is when we get to the point we realize that we are captive, and Lord, I can't break these chains on my own, because I can sit here all day and try to break these. They're not going anywhere. And we realize that we need his strength, and we call on him for strength. The first thing that we notice is that his word remains forever. And that's important, because it says that he's strong and he's powerful. And what do I need? I need strength and power from somewhere other than myself. So the first thing, his word remains forever. Verse 11, he protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. So not only is he strong and powerful, but he's nurturing and he's caring. And I'm quite sure that y'all have seen the picture, the footprints picture, right? Where there's two sets of footprints in the sand. You're walking along in life. And then all of a sudden, there's just one set of footprints. And you look over at God and you say, Lord, what I noticed was is that, you know, when times got the hardest, there's only one set of footprints. That's when I needed you most and you were nowhere to be found. And Jesus says, no, no, no. You got it all wrong. You couldn't do it. So that's where I was carrying you through. So y'all, he's our shepherd. When times get tough and we can't keep going, he'll pick us up. And he'll carry us through because he has a strong and mighty arm. So one, his word remains forever. He's strong and powerful. And two, he's our shepherd. Let's look in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or marked off the heavens with the span of his hand? Who has gathered the dust of the earth in a measure, or weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in the scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or gave him counsel? Who did he consult with? Who gave him understanding and taught him the paths of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Y'all understand what they're saying about God here? He's all-knowing. Nobody told him anything. He already knows it. Y'all, he knows right now what it is that you're struggling with, what you've been struggling with, and what you're going to struggle with. He knows every problem that you've ever had. And his word remains forever. And he's strong and powerful. He's your shepherd. And he's all-knowing. This sounded pretty good so far, isn't it? Sounds like somebody that can probably help us out with this captivity problem. Verse 15. Look, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They're considered as a speck of dust in the scales. He lifts up the islands like fine dust. Lebanon is not enough for fuel, or its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They're considered by him as nothingness and emptiness. Who will you compare God with? What likeness will you compare him to? To an idol, something that a smelter casts, and a metal worker plates with gold and makes silver welds for it? To one who shapes a pedestal, choosing wood that does not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not fall over. And y'all, what you get out of this is very simple. Y'all know how we're always setting idols up in our lives, things that we look to instead of God. And my example of this is when you get stressed, what do? I heard eat. That's probably the best one. Somebody else said something. I didn't hear you, though. People smoke when they get stressed. Absolutely. What else? Drink, pray. I like it. Exercise. It's a good one. Anything else y'all do? Y'all just stare at the wall? Pray, what? Fishing? Do stupid stuff. That's a good one. That kind of sums it all up. All right, moving on. Doing stupid stuff. Good answer. And so that tells you right there that we set things up in our lives that we turn to when times get tough and we get bound down with all these chains. That's where we go. But what I want you to see in here is that nothing and no one compares to God. Go ahead, make you an idol. Put it together. Get you the finest craftsman in the world to put it together. And you still got crap compared to me. I don't know if God would use that word or not, but that's my interpretation of it. King James Version. Y'all forgive me. Verse 21. So far we know that God's word remains forever, that he's strong and powerful. We know that he's our shepherd. We know that he's all-knowing. And we know that no one and nothing compares to him. Verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not considered the foundations of the earth? God is enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like thin cloth and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes to nothing and makes judges of the earth irrational. They're barely planted, barely sown. Their stem hardly takes root in the ground. When he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind carries them away like stubble. Now what we see is that God is the King of Kings. And there's no ruler in this world that ever has been, is, or ever will be more powerful than our God. Not one. And he says, I can take a leader and just thump them just like that and they'll be gone just as soon as I want them gone. And I can take somebody else and put them in just as soon as I want them put in. Because I am the King of Kings. I am the only King. It's sounding better and better, isn't it? So his word remains forever. He's strong and powerful. He's our shepherd. He's all-knowing. No one and nothing compares to him. And now we know that he's the King of Kings. Verse 25 and 26. Who will you compare me to, or who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up and see who created these. He brings out the starry host by number. He calls all of them by name because of his great power and strength. Not one of them is missing. And y'all, this is one of my favorite ones. Because what we realize here is that God knows us by name. If he knows the stars by name, every single one of them, y'all, he knows your name. But today we're talking about chains and being bound up and needing strength to get rid of those chains. And you know what's even cooler? He knows the name of each one of your chains. He knows that this one is pride, but he knows that this one is lust. He knows that this one is adultery. He knows that this one's lying. And you can keep going and fill in the blank with whatever it is that you're bound up with, but he knows the name of every one of those chains. And here's what he says in verse 27. Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my claim is ignored by my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There's no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You guys, what you get out of this is that all strength, no matter what strength it is, comes from one place, and that's from God. But there's a very particular word in here that we need to look at, because it says, but those that wait upon the Lord, or those that trust in the Lord, depending on which translation you're in, it's the same word if you look it up in Hebrew. What it means to wait on the Lord or trust in the Lord, y'all, this definition is very important, because it means to bind together by twisting. Now, I want you to think about something. It says that if you wait on the Lord or trust in the Lord, he'll renew your strength. How many times have we prayed that prayer? Lord, I trust you, Lord, renew my strength. That's not what it means. It means to bind yourself together with God. Can you bind yourself together with God if you're bound up in chains? And y'all know when you bind something together, eventually you don't know where which one starts and which one ends, right? So when people see you, what should they see? Jesus. They should see Jesus in you. And the cool thing is, we can do it. It's not impossible. And God's cool like that. He gives us a game plan. Look in Jeremiah 29. Y'all, I just got to tell you, this is the first time that's ever happened. I just randomly grabbed a page and turned, and it went right to the scripture I'm about to read. That has never happened before. It will probably never happen again. So y'all just say, praise the Lord. Okay, I was just making sure y'all were awake, honestly. Some of y'all are taking your afternoon nap already. It's not cool, man. It's not cool. All right, Jeremiah chapter 29. Look in verse 10. We often quote verse 11 out of this, but it's another verse that's the most important one. It says, for this is what the Lord says, when 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you and will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore you to the place I deported you from. Y'all, that's an awesome promise. And I know a lot of times we look in the Old Testament, you know, kind of like Jeff was saying the other night, and we go, does this promise relate to us or not? But this is the same story from Isaiah 40 that we were just reading. And in Isaiah 40, verse 3, he prophesies about John the Baptist coming and preaching repentance. And who followed right behind John the Baptist? Gee, there you go. Jesus, I was hoping nobody would say pride. I did kind of set y'all up. Jesus came right behind him. And what did Jesus preach? Freedom, repentance. If you repent and turn from your wicked ways and turn to me, man, I'll take you to heaven with me. Right? So is this promise for us? This is what he says in verse 12. You'll call to me, come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that's a very important word. How can you give somebody something you don't have? got some of y'all's attention now. Hope none of y'all have had heart surgery and they've had to take part of your heart out. I don't mean it like that. How can you give somebody something you don't have? Think about it. You go through life. You lose a loved one. What do you say at the funeral? A piece of my heart went with them. You get in a relationship, you really love the person, and they just up and leave you. A piece of your heart stayed with them. You had an addiction, bound up, and you got free. But a piece of your heart stayed with it. So how can you give God something you don't have? So what's the first prayer? Lord, mend my heart. Put it back together. Holy moly, it's in pieces all over the place. In other words, forgiving the people that wronged you. Asking forgiveness from those that you have wronged. And we can go on and on with that as well, but I think y'all get the point. The only way to give him your heart is to find your heart. Ask him to mend your heart. And when you do that, the cool thing about Jesus is when you give it to him, he holds something that's very important. It's called a key. And when Jesus has the key, Jesus, you have the key. I hope Jesus has the key or this is going to be a long day. We're going to pray for a minute. And just like that, when you untwist them, I think I got him. Just like that, he takes them all away. And they're gone. There's no more chains. You've been set free because you gave him your whole heart. Y'all think it's over, don't you? What time is it? I don't have my phone. 11:55. 5 more minutes. Y'all have seen the videos, right? The Christian videos, the Break Every Chains videos and all that stuff where they, you know, they break free from the chains and then they get bound back up by the same ones and they break free and they get bound back up. Y'all have seen those, right? Y'all kind of know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen them, you got an idea of what I'm talking about. Y'all know how it is when you get free of a sin. Let's just say you're addicted to pornography, right? And you get free of it. And then something bad happens. What do you sometimes turn back to? The addiction, in this instance, the pornography. So you're getting bound back up. But see, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the case. I think the problem is this. We're real quick to give God the chains we don't want. But what we don't do is give them the ones that we're hiding. The ones that are closest to our heart. When we started this message, this lock was at my heart. It is no longer. But you get the point. We don't want to give them these chains because these are the ones that are the most precious to us. Y'all seen the movie, right? My precious. That's how we treat these chains. And we don't want God to have these because we need something to run back to just in case times get tough. And so we put the biggest padlock we can find on there. Y'all, this padlock weighs 475 million pounds, I promise. Or maybe it's just because I've been having it on for forever. But we put this one on there because you couldn't cut this with just some regular bolt cutters. You got to have the key. But you see, what Jesus said was, I need your whole heart. In other words, the only way to really find strength from God when we're struggling with different things in our life is to give him these. That's the only way. We can't hide them. We can't hold anything back. We can't pretend they're not there by putting our nice little shirt over them and hoping nobody notices they're there. Did anybody notice they were there? Oh, man, y'all are good. Thank you. That was the goal. How many of y'all would admit, don't have to raise your hand, I'm just raising mine for theatrical purposes. How many of y'all would admit that you've got some kind of chain that you're just not really willing to let go of? Perhaps it's the chain of some kind of addiction for you, whatever that addiction may be. Y'all know one of the biggest chains that we have today are those cell phones. Man, they chain us down. And they keep us from working because we're playing on them at work. They keep us from actually having a conversation with a real life person. Did y'all know people exist? There's not just a voice on the other end of the phone. People actually exist. If you look around, here's Exhibit A. There's people all around. And you don't have to text them if you're sitting right beside them. I guess I could text you this entire message and we wouldn't have had to come to church today and everybody would have probably been just fine with it. But y'all, the phone, man. Phone will chain you. It'll chain you. And you can fill in the blank from there. Maybe you like movies you know you shouldn't be watching. Maybe it's music that makes you angry. I know when I was growing up, I listened to some show enough angry music. Oh my goodness. Whew. I'm embarrassed to tell you what I listen to, so I'm not going to. But if I did tell you, you'd probably be embarrassed because I told you. But y'all, music, man, it makes you angry and it chains you up. You can't let go of that anger. Maybe for you, you had an abusive father and you're just not willing to let go of that hurt. You're not willing to let go of that anger. You're not willing to forgive him. And so you hold on to it. Because at the end of the day, y'all remember, this is the one we want. We don't care to give him these. Everybody knows about these, right? We can see them. Y'all saw these. Everybody knows about these. We'll let those go on the altar. They see me smoking, so I'm going to put my pack of cigarettes on the altar. God wants it all. And church, when you go through revival and you get pumped up, what you end up finding out after you get real pumped up and excited, you know, that pride kind of starts creeping in a little bit. And you're like, man, look at us. Look what we're doing. And it leads to captivity, which then leads to the need for strength. So you're getting this message free of charge, no love offering, nothing, unless you just want to put it in the plate. J-A-M-I-E, I-E, not E-Y, Harrison, if you'll make the check out. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. This is free of charge, y'all. And I'm telling you this before it happens because it's coming. It's coming. You're going to get excited and be ready to go, and then something's going to happen, and you're going to be captive again. And man, as soon as it happens, you got to say, you know what, Lord? I know that your word remains forever, that you're strong and powerful, and I know that you're the good shepherd, and I know that you'll carry me through. I know you're all-knowing, and you knew this was going to happen anyway. I know nothing and nobody compares to you. I know you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I know you know my name, and I know that through that, if I trust you, you'll give me the strength to make it through. Boom. There it is. And those chains are just going to fall right off like they were never there. Exhibit B. Jesus has the key. We hope. And we hope they come off. That'd be bad. I might need some help with this one. I don't even know where it's at. Yeah. And see, these are so close to our heart that we have to untangle them from ourselves or take our shirt off in front of the whole congregation. Let's take your shirt off. We're going to take my shirt off in front of everybody. This was planned. I have two undershirts on. Gotcha. Some of y'all were like, never mind. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all give Jesus a hand. You ever had a preacher preaching an undershirt before? It's the first time for everything, right? Jesus comes and he washes us with his blood. And then he cleanses us and he makes us white as snow. And all we have to do is ask. Folks, you can't do it on your own. The only way to do it is through him. And I'm going to tell you one more thing and then I'm going to shut up, because next time I preach, I'm going to owe you like 10 minutes. Forgive me. But y'all, it's one thing to say, Lord, be my strength. It's another thing to do it. Okay? It's one thing to say, you know, I'm addicted to gambling, right? And to say, Lord, give me the strength not to gamble. And it's a whole nother thing to be in the situation where you're about to gamble. This is just an example. Some people have different opinions on this. But you get in that position to gamble, what's going to happen probably? You're probably going to give in. You understand? So it's one thing to say, God, be my strength. But it's another thing to trust Him for His strength. Bind yourself together with Him. The only way to do that is what you're doing right now. Coming to church, reading His Word, worshiping His name, spending time with Him, enjoying His presence. That's the only way to bind yourself together with Jesus Christ. Bow your heads. Lord, we thank You for this morning. And God, I actually thank You for the chains, because without Him, we wouldn't have a need for You. But God, because we struggle with things, because we're human and we are not awesome, that's where You can step in and show us Your strength. And we know that Your strength is made perfect in our weakness, Lord. And I pray this morning, God, for each person in this room, You know exactly what the struggle is, what it's going to be, what it has been. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would not just get rid of the chains that are on the outside, Lord, but get rid of the ones that we're hiding, the ones we don't want anybody to know about, the ones we don't want You to know about. And we think that putting a red shirt on will hide them, but we know it won't. Lord, I pray for the people in this room right now who are letting go of those chains, who are asking You to take them from them. And I pray that as they go out, God, and they say, Lord, strengthen me, that it wouldn't just be words, that it would be a daily routine, a spiritual change, an actual repentance, a turn away from the junk. And Lord, we know when we make that turn and we give You our whole entire heart, Lord, that You'll take residence inside and You ain't going anywhere. Lord, I thank You. I praise You. I glorify and honor Your name. I thank You for everybody in here that has just dropped their chains down to the ground. I pray for those in here who don't know You, who have just accepted You for the first time. God, help us to surround them with love, discipleship, Lord. And Lord, thank You for being You. Thank You for dying on the cross so that we don't have to carry those chains around. Lord, we just give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If the ushers will come at this time, y'all know you can do business with God from anywhere, at any time. And if you're struggling, all you have to do is talk to Him. If y'all will bow your head again, we'll pray for the morning offering. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. I pray that it spoke to somebody this morning. I pray that somebody was able to drop those chains. And I pray that You would just tell us this morning what it is that we need to give. You know the needs of the church. The light bill doesn't quit coming. The rent doesn't quit coming. Salaries don't quit coming. And Lord, I pray that You would tell each person, hey, I need You to give 10 today. I need You to give 20 today, whatever. And I pray that we would all be obedient and give exactly that. Lord, we thank You and give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my
Y'all give the Lord a hand clap. Y'all notice I gave y'all a louder hand clap than they did the Lord? Yes, that's good. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Much better. Y'all, I hope this is more than a song to you. Let him be your all in all, okay? Let him be your all in all. And trust in him when times are tough. Trust in him when times are good. And I promise you, you'll never get bound up again. All right? Way of announcements, the MAC class is right after service. Other than that, I don't really know of anything. Say again. There's a women's meeting after service back there by you, back there by Miss Sarah. I guess that's it. Let's pray, and then y'all can go eat. Lord, thank you again for the day. Thank you for each person here. I pray that you'd strengthen us, Lord, every single day. Help us draw closer to you and bind ourselves together with you. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you. Thank you for letting Big John be your pastor. Ready, break.